Let's move on with the weighing of a wanting wino. You go and find yourselves what that means, okay? In Daniel chapters 1 to 4, Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon, the first king of the Babylonian Empire. He died in 562 BC after a 43-year reign. The next 6 years saw three successors come and go. His son, Evil-Merodach, Nebuchadnezzar's son-in-law, Nergal-Sharezer, and Nergal-Sharezer's son, Labashi-Marduk. In 556 BC, Nabonidus, who was married to Nebuchadnezzar's daughter, Nitocris, became Babylon's final king. He held office until 539 BC, when the empire fell to the Medes and Persians. Nabonidus chose to spend about 14 years away from Babylon. When he did this, he put his son Belshazzar in charge. Belshazzar was de facto king, beginning in 553 BC, enjoying the rights, privileges, and titles of the king. Daniel chapter 5 centers around Belshazzar, who was in charge of Babylon at the time of the fall of the kingdom. This chapter about Belshazzar came under the attack of the modern critics, but in vain. The contention was that heathen historians of Babylon stated that Nabonidus was the last king of Babylon, while Daniel mentioned it was Belshazzar. Why this discrepancy? Archaeology, a new science God has raised to confound the critics, now comes to our aid. According to Archaeology and the Bible by G. Frederick Owen, page 141, in 1854, J.E. Taylor, British consul at Basra, Iraq, found an Assyrian inscription that Belshazzar was the son of Nabonidus and that he reigned as co-king with his father. The fact is that Nabonidus, son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar, ruled for a few years. And then Belshazzar, his son and grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, was promoted co-king for 14 years before he was killed by the Medo-Persians. When was he killed by the Medo-Persians? When did the fall of the kingdom occur? Roman numeral 1. The wine in the holy vessels. The wine in the holy vessels. And letter A, the debauchery of Belshazzar. The debauchery of Belshazzar. Historical records indicate that the fall of Babylon occurred on October the 12th, 539 BC. The mighty Babylonians had lasted only 66 years. Daniel was about 81 years old at this time, rich in experience and mature in wisdom. But God was not yet finished with Daniel. Daniel chapter 5 verse 1 reads, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Royal feasts were common. However, the timing of Belshazzar's feast was unusual in that the empire was in grave danger. The Medes and Persians had been fighting with the Babylonians, and the Babylonian troops had been met with defeat. The Medes and Persians had pushed the Babylonian army back into the city and had surrounded the city. Nevertheless, Belshazzar felt quite secure. The walls were tall and thick, defended by many towers. The builders of Babylon had constructed the walls over the Euphrates River so that a constant supply of water was ensured. Inside, food sufficient for many years had been stored. With this setting, the feast began. Undoubtedly, the king intended to boost the morale of his officials. He felt he had nothing to fear. He would defy the enemy outside the wall by throwing a party within the security of his city. Oriental custom dictated that the king sat at a table alone, where he would be seen by the others. He then set the example for the others to follow. His drinking and his defiant attitude would characterize this feast. The presence of his wives and concubines suggests that this feast may have degenerated into an orgy. Normally, women would not have been present at a feast of officials. And not only do we have the debauchery of Belshazzar, we have, letter B, the defilement of the vessels. The defilement of the vessels. Verses 2 to 3 reads, Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. The sacred temple vessels from Jerusalem, originally dedicated by godly people to the Lord, were defiled and desecrated by Belshazzar as he drank from them and praised his man-made gods. What was Belshazzar communicating about his beliefs concerning God when he and his partygoers drank from the vessels from the temple in Jerusalem? Belshazzar believed God was weak and inferior to his own gods. Why would the king think this way? Babylon overran Judah and destroyed it. The king concluded that the God of the Jews must have been too weak to defend his people. Nebuchadnezzar had respected these vessels enough to use them only for religious worship. Cross-reference with Daniel chapter 1 verse 2. Belshazzar's actions, by contrast, were blatantly blasphemous. We have the debauchery of Belshazzar. We have the defilement of the vessels. We have, let us see, the defiance of God. The defiance of God. A Sunday school teacher was teaching her grade school class that we all need God's forgiveness. After the story, she asked one of the girls, "When is the time you might need God's forgiveness?" Noticeably perplexed, the girl was reassured by the teacher's son, who whispered, "It's okay. You don't have to tell her." Then the boy looked his mother straight in the eye and sternly said, "We don't have to tell you our problems. This isn't the Oprah Winfrey show." The boy defied the teacher. Defiance is disobedience on display. Similarly, Belshazzar defied God. Verse 4 reads, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In praising the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, and wood and stone, Belshazzar was defying God. Why would Belshazzar defy God at this time? For one thing, Belshazzar was born before the death of Nebuchadnezzar. As a lad, who have known and understood God's dealings with Nebuchadnezzar. Cross-reference with verse 22. Also, he likely knew of Nebuchadnezzar's first dream of successive kingdoms. But he was confident of the defense of the city in spite of the success of the enemy outside the wall. His desecration of the vessels of the Lord was his way of defying the prophetic word of God. This arrogant king thought that his defenses would withstand the will of God. He was determined not to be humbled, as was Nebuchadnezzar. What part does arrogance play in a person's defiance of God? arrogance sets self up as the authority in place of God. Nebuchadnezzar had acknowledged that God was sovereign. Belshazzar was sure that he himself was sovereign. His attitude again set the background for God to demonstrate his power and sovereignty. This brings us to Roman numeral 2, the writing on the palace wall. The writing on the palace wall. A handwriting on a wall is not too hard for us to imagine, since we have technology to make a hand appear to be writing on the wall. But there were no computers or projectors in Belshazzar's day. A handwriting on the wall was clearly supernatural. So how did the king react? Letter A, the reaction of the king. The reaction of the king. In verses 5 to 9 reads, "In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished." Perhaps your children have done some finger painting on your walls at home. Likely it made you angry that the message was meaningless, so you cleaned it up the best you could. But this writing formed by the fingers of a man's hand was on the wall, illuminated by the lamp, visible to all who were present. Verse 5. The writing remained there to be studied. Undoubtedly, Belshazzar sobered up quickly. Verse 6. His flushed face turned pale. His mind panicked. His strength left him. His knees rattled in fear. The other guests would have had the same reactions. Conversations broke off in mid-sentence. People choked on the wine in their throats. Terror swept throughout the banqueting room. The king was so anxious to learn the meaning of the writing that he summoned his royal advisors and made a threefold offer to the one who could interpret the writing. Verse 7. The purple robe was that which royalty wore. The golden chain was also befitting royalty. The offer of the position as third ruler had puzzled scholars until it was discovered that Belshazzar and his father were actually co-regents. It was a very generous offer, although somewhat meaningless in view of the fact that the kingdom fell that night. Never before had these wise men encountered this phenomenon. They were completely baffled and could neither read nor interpret the writing. Verse 8. Why was not Daniel present with these men? A change of administration had likely resulted in a demotion for him. In light of Daniel chapter 8 verses 1 and 27, it appears his career had ended during the reign of Belshazzar. Perhaps Belshazzar also wanted to avoid Daniel, since he had been defying his God. Whatever the reason, the king gave the pagans the first chance to interpret the message. After their failure, God's man appeared on the scene. The inability of the advisors increased the terror of the king. Verse 9. He knew that the enemy was outside the wall. He also knew that he had been defying God. He lightly suspected a connection among all these events. The failure of the wise men and the king's terror also contributed to the guests' fear. Those who don't fear God may end up fearing for their lives. Having no fear of or respect for God leads us to defy God and opens us up to His judgment. Letter B, the report concerning Daniel. The report concerning Daniel. A man was riding in a taxi in New York City when he noticed that the driver slowed down to avoid a pedestrian. Trying to compliment the driver's actions, he said, "I noticed you slowed down." The driver responded, "Yeah, if you hit them, you've got to fill up a report." The driver was not concerned with taxi courtesy. He was more concerned with having to give a report. Similarly, the queen gave a report about Daniel. Let's read verses 10 to 16 responsively, and I shall begin. Verse 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, and the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which are of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing, and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing together. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing, and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." The queen, who informed Belshazzar of Daniel's abilities, was likely Belshazzar's mother, the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar and wife of Nabonidus. Not one of Belshazzar's wives who was already in the throne room with him. See verse 2. Inasmuch as this queen could relate the stories of the wonderful solutions Daniel had given to Nebuchadnezzar, it is thought she was the queen mother. Her knowledge of Daniel implied a close and respected relationship. Verses 10 to 12. One who was supposed to have, quote-unquote, retired from service, was instrumental in bringing back the truth. Here is one lesson I've learned. While it's true one must rather press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians chapter 3 verse 14, forgetting those things which are behind, Philippians chapter 3 verse 13, to look back and to remember God's power in days gone by is also important. In this case, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits applies. Psalm 103, verse 2. Hence the celebration of our church anniversary every year. The queen's repeated references to thy father, starting from verse 11, and praise of Daniel, verse 12, highlight the unflattering picture that this chapter paints of Belshazzar. In questioning Daniel, the king condescendingly referred to his Jewish background. Remember that Daniel and the vessels which Belshazzar had desecrated were taken from Jerusalem at the same time. He admitted the failure of his pagan advisors and acknowledged that Daniel should be able to read and interpret the writing. He also offered Daniel the same rewards offered earlier to his wise men. Verses 15 to 16. In contrast to Daniel, who was reputed to have an excellent spirit, verse 12, Belshazzar comes off as a weak man of low character. Most telling is the fact that he did not even know with certainty who Daniel was, verse 13. Think of it. He had one of the greatest prophets in history available to him as an advisor and had neglected him and his wisdom entirely. Belshazzar was the embodiment of a fool. In what ways might we sometimes exemplify the same type of foolishness which Belshazzar showed? By ignoring God's word and the wise counsel of godly people. Let us see the response of Daniel. The response of Daniel. A mom asked her preschool daughter, "Would you like an ice cream sundae?" Her daughter thought for a moment and answered, "No, I think I would rather have one today." The daughter responded to the mother's question. Similarly, Daniel responded to Belshazzar's question. Again, let us read verses 17 to 23 responsively. Here we go. And I shall begin, verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and he took the glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this together, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified." Not wanting to be indebted or intimidated by the king, Daniel rejected the offer of the gifts. Verse 17. He would, however, read and explain the writing without obligation. Before interpreting the writing, Daniel reminded Belshazzar that although Nebuchadnezzar was very great, his greatness led to pride. Verses 18 to 20. God humbled him until he acknowledged that God was sovereign over the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Verse 21. This meant that Belshazzar was a king because God had appointed him. Hence, he should not have been proud and certainly should not have defied God as he had been doing. Belshazzar knew all this. He was perfectly aware of God's dealings with Nebuchadnezzar. After all, Nebuchadnezzar had made it a matter of public record. Still, Belshazzar refused to acknowledge God's sovereignty over him. He had not humbled himself before God as had Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, he had deliberately lifted up himself against the Lord of heaven by desecrating the vessels of the temple in his drunken orgy and his worship of pagan gods. Verses 22 to 23. He sinned knowingly. Interestingly, Daniel did not admonish him to repent as he had Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. And there is not the slightest suggestion that he did repent. Having knowingly repudiated the truth, there remained only judgment. By the way, a discrepancy alleged by the critics was that Belshazzar should be mentioned as Nebuchadnezzar's grandson and not son in verse 22. But this is like trying to extract oil off a stone, a case of willfully twisted argument. Had these critics studied a little more Hebrew, they would not have bitten their own tongue. The word son in Hebrew is often used to mean descendant. Thus Matthew, a Jew, in the opening of the Gospel account of our Lord, mentions him as the son of David, the son of Abraham. In the same vein of Semitic usage, Nebuchadnezzar is called father of Belshazzar in verse 11. The use of Hebrew words must be seen in the light of their own context and idiom, and not according to English or Chinese expressions. And so we have the wine in the holy vessels, we have the writing on the palace wall, we have Roman numeral 3, the weighing of the defiant king. The weighing of the defiant king. Having rebuked the king, Daniel proceeded to interpret the writing. One can only wonder concerning Belshazzar's attitude toward Daniel and God at this point. Letter A, the details of the interpretation. The details of the interpretation. British Railways was looking for a way to test locomotive windshields when they heard about an unusual test cannon at British Airways. Airways used the cannon to fire birds at great force into the windshields of passenger jets to ensure designs and materials were up to par. They gladly let the railway borrow it. And just before the test run, British Railways sent someone out to buy a dead chicken for ammunition. The cannon was then loaded, aimed, and fired at the windshield. The bird smashed through the windshield, broke the engineer's chair, and made a large dent in the rear wall. Railways was furious. They called Airways demanding an explanation. Airways, check it out. No problem, they reported. Next time you buy a chicken, make sure it isn't frozen. British Airways did not provide British Railways with the full details of the test. But Daniel provided Belshazzar with the full details of the interpretation of the writing. He said in verses 24 to 29, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and he clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. The words the hand wrote on the wall were Aramaic words, Mene, Mene, tactical ufasin. Verse 25. The Aramaic words on the wall may have been written all together as if they form one long word. They would have included only consonants, not the vowel pointing, which was not used until centuries later. Thus, writing such as this would be completely devoid of objective meaning to these wise men. And in this case, it required a special revelation from God for the explanation of its significance. Mini is repeated for emphasis. The word means to number, to reckon, meaning that Belshazzar's days were numbered by God. Verse 26, his kingdom was about to fall. He was about to die. Tikal means weighed. Verse 27, Tikal means weighed. The king had been weighed and found wanting. Though he exercised great power with men, he carried no weight with God. His moral conduct was lacking. Perez means broken or divided and carries a double meaning by alluding to the nation of Medo-Persia. Verse 28, the kingdom was to fall and be given to the Medes and Persians who are outside the wall. But why does verse 25 says Ufasin and verse 26 says Perez? Ufasin is plural, divisions. Perez is singular, divided. Babylon is being divided once into two branches. There is no contradiction here, just a linguistic variation to highlight two different aspects of this prophecy. One separation into two segments. The king evidenced his acceptance of the interpretation by giving Daniel the gifts he promised to him before the interpretation. Verse 29. Letter B, the downfall of the kingdom. The downfall of the kingdom. Verses 30 to 31 reads, in that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. That very night the prophecy was fulfilled. By diverting the Euphrates River, which went under the wall of Babylon, the enemy marched into the city via the riverbed. The Medes and Persians killed Belshazzar, though there was very little other bloodshed as the empire fell. These events are recorded in detail by the ancient historian Herodotus. The agent of the downfall was Darius, a Median general under Cyrus the Persian. Cross-reference with Daniel chapter 6 verse 28 and chapter 9 verse 1. Darius became king of the Babylonian province of the Medo-Persian Empire. He was 62 years old, hence about 20 years younger than Daniel. Daniel's prophecy was not the first one to predict the downfall of Babylon. This message had been given nearly 150 years before in Isaiah chapter 44 verse 28 to chapter 45 verse 4. Truly, God is sovereign over the nations, including the four great world empires which will stretch through history until the final return of Christ. The wine in the holy vessels, the writing on the palace wall, and the weighing of the defiant king. Daniel chapter 5 recounts the fall of Babylon to Darius the Mede. Belshazzar, the de facto king of Babylon, chose to defy God on what turned out to be his last day as king. He ordered his men to serve wine in the vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. God responded with a mysterious message on his party room wall. Daniel interpreted the message from God that let Belshazzar know his defiance of God would soon lead to his destruction. Choosing to defy God leads to destruction, regardless of your privileges and means. Belshazzar's attitude toward God was one of defiance. The consequences for Belshazzar's defiance were tragic. He learned that defying God leads to destruction. His negative example serves as a warning to us to examine our lives for any signs of defiance of God. This is another lesson for the high and mighty, for the proud and arrogant. And let this be a lesson to leaders of the church also. In the words of the Apostle Peter, who speaks as an elder to elders and younger men, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 3, 5, and 6. Let's pray.